and croeso to episode 114 of Alternative Buzz, the podcast. I'm Ryan, and joining me, as always, this week is Tommy Kouse. Kouse, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, right? Good to have the sexiest threesome back again for, well, I think it's an unprecedented, what, 6-7 weeks in a row?
Yeah, we're having a good run of it at the moment. Yeah. I'm sort of waiting for someone to fuck up somewhere along the line. You know, we've avoided Rodri's night shifts. You know, we've avoided your, you know, ever busy schedule of life. So, yeah, the sexiest threesome lives on. And completing that threesome after a good run of maybe a week of feeling fresh. We've got a hungover Rodri Davis. Rod, you've been swept up in rugby fever. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, well, I had today off, so it was a good excuse to have a bit of a Sunday sesh. So that's what happened. And yeah, I feel like I'm in the boot of a car that's fucking in a reservoir. Yeah, I don't feel great. But we do record on Mondays, so I have, it's a common problem that I'm hungover on these. But usually it's an extension on the Saturday. But yeah, I was out yesterday. So, and yeah. Partook in watching Wales in the rugby. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week, is it? I think.
Yeah, straight into the rugby chat. As we did have a question from Gareth McGilvray about a bunch of rugby questions, five in a row. So, yeah, clearly you got the wrong podcast. But Rod, does Derry Lake get in the 23 for the quarterfinals?
Yeah, not the pod for that question, is it?
But there we are. Yeah. Well done to rugby. You're all good. Well done. Right, football waits for no man, no matter how hungover anyone is. So we will dive into the football. But before that, if you haven't already, issue 11 is available to buy from alternativewales.com/shop. I said it last week and I'll say it again next week and the week after. It is the best way to support the podcast. If you haven't already, go and get yourself a copy. I've also got something else to flog this week. We are doing a event with the good people at St. Fagans on the 20th of October. I'll be hosting a panel discussing Welsh football culture with Joe Ledley, Penny from Walgoch y Menywod, Jalal from Amar Cymru, the South Asian supporters group, and friend of the pod, great musician Annie Glass. So yeah, grab some tickets for that. Should be a really good night. Just a good chance to go and see the exhibition before it closes, and just have a bit of a social, have a drink. I think Annie will be DJing as well. It'll just be just a fun night out. If you're in the area on Friday the 20th of October, go on to our social media and you can get a link to the tickets there. Right, football then. Let's start with the Cymru Premier, I think. A pretty standard week, really. But the standout result is Barry beating Bala. Barry came into the game winless, whilst Bala came into the game unbeaten. Two early goals from Barry pretty much wrapped it up quickly. I don't really think the story here is Bala losing or even Barry winning. But with ABBA losing again, they are starting to be cut adrift at the bottom of the league. I'm not sure they're going to do an Airbus or a Kevin Druids, but they do need to do something quickly if they're going to have a chance, aren't they, Kouse?
Yeah, I think so. Got to say, did not see that Barry result coming. Massive result for them, especially given, you know, Ballard starting pretty well, probably drawn more than they'd like to, but they've started pretty well. So yeah, didn't really see it coming. And I'm pretty sure a lot of Barry fans probably didn't see it coming either. But yeah, it's already looking really, really tough for Aber. Plenty of time, we know that. But for me, it's the manner of the performances and the results, and it just looks very, very grim for Aber at the moment. But we predicted that, didn't we, at the start of the season? And I think we all predicted Barry to struggle as well. So yeah, credit to them. They've sort of, they've given themselves a good result. That means that they're not being cut adrift. As we've said, I think we said it last week, in the Cymru Premier, you can see the league taking shape quite early on most seasons. So yeah, that makes that a big result, I think.
Yeah, and obviously Haverford West now slipping into the relegation zone, which I don't think any of us could have foreseen going into the season. I think most of us had them in our top six. So, interesting to see what will go on there, because obviously expectations are high, a lot of money going into the club. You know, will Tony Pennock have the time to fix it? I don't know. I don't know if the new chairman is that kind of character, but one to keep an eye on. Thomas Key, probably the other standout story at the moment. They continued their fine form, 5 wins on the bounce. They are now only 2 points off the top, 4 points clear of third. Kaus, can you see them sustaining a title challenge against TNS? Obviously, TNS have shown that they have a little blip in them, if you can call 2 draws a blip. But yeah, I guess what Connors Key are doing are making sure that TNS have to be perfect for the time being.
Yeah, no, I don't really. Unfortunately, I'd love to sit in and say yes, that there'll be title challenges. No, I can't quite see it personally, unless they strengthen heavily in January. I still see TNS winning it by 10, 15 points. But it's good to see that after 8 games. I think after 8 games last year, TNS were pretty much home and dry already, weren't they? It was really disappointing last year. If they can get closer than what they were last year. And by the way, I'm still backing Penabont to finish second.
Yeah. Come on.
And I think that'll be a really interesting one. Connors Key and Penabont for that second and third place. But I can't quite see them. But I've said it time and time again on here. Neil Gibson, really good manager. And I think he'll continue to improve them. It's just that from where they were when he first came in, it's going to take a bit of time to get close to TNS, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that, like you said, I think the challenge for second and third will be between Penabont and Connors Key. By the time you're hearing this, there would have been another round of fixtures played. Penabont played Barry, Connors Key played Colwyn Bay. So on paper, both sides realistically should be winning. I think they're both at home as well. But then they play each other on Saturday. So that'll be a really interesting, I think, you know, for Penabont especially, because they haven't really played any of the big boys other than Bala losing 2-1 away. So it might be a bit of a marker for them in Connors Key, which, isn't an easy place to go for anyone. They don't lose often at home. So that'll be one to keep an eye on this weekend. I think it's also worth shouting out Newtown. In Flint, of course, yeah. This may be an easier place to go than that hellhole of a ground they used to play in. maybe the worst football ground I've ever been to, like at a decent level. Horrific. I also think it's worth shouting out Newtown, who are having a great run at the moment. After a pretty poor start. And also Chris Venables, who, by the time you'll be listening to the pod, will have broken Wyn Thomas's Cymru Premier appearance record. I think it's 357 games it'll be. 537, something like that. Have a look online. Again, should have done my research. But a true legend of the league, and a thoroughly good bloke who I'm sure still has plenty left in the tank. Fair play to Chris. Kaus, also a big weekend in the Cymru North as Flint and Holywell went head-to-head. Both sides are competing for promotion this season. It was 1-1, nothing to separate them. What do you make of the top end of the table there at the moment?
Pretty much as I expected, mate, I've got to say. Holywell, I always sort of thought Holywell and Flint are going to be the boys to beat, and it's hard to pick between the two. I think I predicted Flint to win the league. And who knows, there's only 2 points between them. Flint were perhaps a little bit fortunate to get a draw. That it was very, very late, wasn't it? It was last minute goal. Good to see 1,000 people there though. It's a proper derby that as well, Flint and Holywell. It's always a tasty one, that one. I think pretty much you can see the table taking shape now in the Cymru North. Gotta say as well, right? What a game at Central Park on Friday night, Denby against Buckley.
Yeah.
6-5 to Denby. Absolutely incredible. I think it's the record goals in a match in the Cymru North. Mm-hmm. Absolutely crazy. And good to see my hometown club, Denby, climbing the league.
Yeah, that was one that caught my eye on Friday night. Over to the EFL then. Cardiff continued their good form. Three wins on the bounce, including wins against two sides who were in the playoffs last season, currently in seventh. Weird, really, I guess, as a Cardiff fan at the moment, after so many years of pretty dour football and dour results, there almost seems to be a little bit of hope at the moment. Rod, you've seen quite a bit of the Championship this season, maybe not too much of Cardiff. But are Cardiff good now? And can they compete in the playoff picture? Or do you think it's just, you know, a bit of a run?
I still think it's a bit too early in the season, really. But from what I've seen so far, I don't think there's many real standout teams. So Cardiff, for me, probably in that mix of teams who probably should be looking at this season as a potential chance to sneak in and do something. You know, you've got the likes of Southampton dropping. I think they've had four defeats in the bounce. Middlesbrough haven't started well. Some of the bigger teams not really pulling up any trees. And yeah, I don't see why not. And you, like we've said about five times in a row now, about having Ramsey in the team and the difference he can make, just having that one like key player. And I don't even think he played for you yesterday, did he?
No, or on Tuesday night. So two of the three wins in the run have been without Ramsey, which is...
Is he injured or is he just...
I think they rested him on the Tuesday, and then yesterday they were expecting him, but I think he's got a fever or he's unwell, so it was just nice to leave him out. But yeah, I think that sort of adds to the impressiveness, really, of the results.
Yeah, well, if you're winning without him, then even more of a bonus when he comes back in then, because he's going to make a difference again. So, and like you said, you're beating some teams that you probably think on previous seasons you wouldn't have had a hope against, really. Sunderland have been going really well. And to turn them over away from home and a clean sheet, yeah, it's really impressive stuff. And I can't pretend, I've seen a hell of a lot of Cardiff, so I can't see how these games have gone and whether you've kind of, well, it doesn't matter, you do deserve to win if you win, but you know what I mean, if you've actually controlled the games and deserve the points. But I very promising start, very promising. I think this manager's got a hope of doing what a lot of Cardiff managers have managed in last in the season. So
yeah,
the way it's going. So yeah, you know, having such a strong start can really shape your season and into a really positive one. So I don't see why not.
Playoffs,
yeah. Or here we come for Cardiff, I think.
Imagine that. I mean, yeah, I think the first result would be keeping the manager for a season. But he seems to be doing all the right things. It seems to be really exciting. Two very different games. You know, the Coventry game probably should have kept a clean sheet, two goals, avoidable goals, look really good going forward. And then on the other hand, in Sunderland, we defended for our lives and nicked something, you know, with 5-10 minutes to go. So, it's good to see that we've got both in our locker where we can dominate a game and score goals and maybe not be as tight as we'd want at the back, but also then dig in and pull off a 1-0 win. So encouraging signs. Swansea and Michael Duff got their first win of the season against strugglers Sheffield Wednesday. An important result for them and for Michael Duff's future employment. I think if they'd lost that in the end with other results, they would have gone bottom. Hopefully for them, it's the start of a run of decent results, Rod. But, you know, Sheffield Wednesday have had an absolutely dreadful start to the season. And it does feel like maybe not the turning point that they would have hoped for, but it is encouraging.
Yeah, it's not a turning point yet, is it? They do need to string a few good results together to really look like things are getting going there. But I think you can tell there's a few sides in the Championship I can see real struggling, and I'm not sure I put Swansea in them. I think Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham are going to be down there all season because they don't look very good at all. But I don't think I would include Swansea in that. They might struggle because, you know, it's a very competitive league, but they have got a good squad, and it's just getting, if they're going to stick with the manager, they've got to give him time to get it right and, like, you know his best 11 and his combinations and all that shit talk. Like, good to get a first win. And, but it's going to be a matter of getting them results together and building a bit of run of form. So, yeah, I can't say much more than that. You know, they could lose 3-0 again on the weekend, and it's back to square one then. So,
yeah, that is that is the case there. Meanwhile, in League Two, another difficult week for Newport, who are not in the best run of form at the moment. But there is a vote this week, as far as I'm aware, about investment into the club and sort of changing the ownership model. And I think Hugh Jenkins, formerly of Swansea City fame, is in the picture. So a bit of a blast from the past there. Again, I don't really know too much about what's going on, sort of just living vicariously through a few Newport fans and Newport accounts that I follow on Twitter. But the 1912 Exiles boys will be covering it in depth on their podcast with much more knowledge than we could over there. So tune into them if you have an interest in what's going on with Newport's ownership. It was also a difficult afternoon for Wrexham, who lost 5-0 to Stockport. I'm sure there's no reason to panic. It has been a good run. Because we said last week on the pod that this would be a marker for how good Wrexham are. And they shit the bed, essentially. But it's hard to see, from my perspective, how a team who have shipped so many goals already this season can sustain a promotion push. What's going wrong at the back, and what went wrong on Saturday? And is it a blip, you know? But to me, it feels like you conceded 5 now on 2 occasions already is a concern.
3 occasions. Yeah, we drew 5-all against, yeah.
What was the other one?
Drew 5-all against Swindon.
Oh, yeah,
5-2
on the first day. That was it. Yeah, I was thinking of the
yeah, 5-2 against MK Dons. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, it's a massive, mate. It's concerned. I don't think, like you said, I don't think there's anything to panic. I mean, everyone's capable of off days. And you know, it's come after last Saturday, one of the best, most comprehensive performances I've seen from Wrexham for a long, long time. So, yeah, it's a strange one. It's hard to sort of put your finger on what went wrong on Saturday. I mean, the only thing I can offer is the fact that it was the first time I wasn't there this season. So there you go. That's what it is. I went to watch Dan Sannon, who scored a last-minute winner. So I had a good Saturday. but yeah, no, not good at all. Really concerning, conceding far too many goals. But yeah, I think, you know, we're back in action again this Saturday, back at home against Crewe, which would be a tough game. But I think fingers crossed we'll be back to form. And so, yeah, I'm sure Parky will want to get to the bottom of it. But, yeah, you're absolutely right, though, Ray. I mean, as good as Wrexham are going forward, you can't concede that many goals and expect to get promotion. So it sort of reminds me of this time last year. Wrexham had conceded a lot of goals, but they just happened to be, you know, sort of Kevin Keegan style. If you score 5, we'll score 6, sort of thing. But that's just not sustainable. So yeah, fingers crossed, things sorted out.
Is it a personnel thing, or do you think it's like a tactical thing? Where, you know, is it players that aren't playing well, or is it the system that Parkinson is implementing that just means that you're really open at the back?
Well, it's so weird because, I mean, one thing that's been levelled against Wrexham and Phil Parkinson's tactics is that it's quite sort of long ball and negative and predictable style of play. And yet we have all these high scoring games. So it's a bit of a quandary, really. But it's not personnel, right? The players are top class. Ben Tozer gets a lot of criticism from fans. He doesn't get any from me. I think he's, you know, he's a good organiser. He brings a lot to the table in terms of his, you know, his long throws get, you know, 10, 12 assists a season alone. Toza had a shocking game from what I could see on Saturday. And Will Boyle, who's played really well, had a poor game as well. I don't think it is personnel. But at the same time, I think, you know, this time last year, Parkinson made a couple of tweaks here and there and all of a sudden really tightened up the defence, and it was one of the best defences in the league. So I'm sure he'd be looking to do that again. And yeah, we'll just see on Saturday. I think Wrexham will bounce back this Saturday and beat Crewe at home, hopefully.
Bit of a local derby as well, Crewe, I guess.
I mean, it's after Chester, Crewe's probably the closest professional team, but for me, it's never been. I'd always sort of put Tranmere and Shrewsbury as bigger rivals. But yeah, it'll probably have a derby feel, I'm sure.
Yeah. Merthyr lost to Gosport this weekend. But after we recorded last week, they went and beat Taunton in the FA Cup replay. They'll now face Sheppey United, I think. The Isle of Sheppey, which I didn't know existed until Googling it earlier this week, in the next qualifying round, which is this weekend. Rod, we saw how important the cup run was for them last season, and beating a side who are performing well in the league above them away from home is really impressive. And on paper, probably should be turning over Sheppey as well. I think they might play similar level, maybe a step below them. What do you make of the cup run, and you know, just the season as a whole, despite, you know, a couple of poor results in the league in the last few weeks?
Very positive start, really. You know, they're never going to keep on winning forever, were they? You know, you couldn't expect a few like hiccups along the way, but I think they went down to 10 men, did they, on Saturday?
Yes, I think they did, yeah, from what I'm aware.
You know, that's something you can kind of, you know, it was in your like evaluation of the game, I suppose. You know, you can't really take much out of the game when you're down to 10 men, it can change everything. So, yeah, what did you? I missed that bit you said about Sheppey. Are they below them in the league structure?
They're either the same level or the level below them. I'm not entirely sure. Whereas obviously Taunton, they should be heavy favourites, I think, from what I gather, for the game on the weekend in Merthyr as well, because it's a long away from Sheppey. It's like Kent.
I don't even know where Sheppey is.
It's an actual island, I realise, but like, you know, in Kent somewhere. Or Essex, it might be. Yeah, it's like right over the east coast of England.
All right, like one of them Thames islands, is it, or something?
Yeah, it's where it's like it's an island, but there's like a bridge over it. You know, it's not like Portsmouth is, which I only realised recently that Portsmouth is an island. But there we are. That's a fact for another time. Yeah,
there we are. No, like we've said before, the dream is now Merthyr get back to the first round again, and they play Wrexham at home. So yeah, that's what we want, and let's hope they do it. So
yeah, fingers crossed for that.
How many more rounds is there before that?
This is the third qualifying round. I think there's one more after this.
So
there's four qualifying rounds, and then the first round in November. So,
Well, let's hope that's what happens in this.
Absolutely. On Friday night, Wales women were in action. They lost 1-0 to Iceland. We're recording today, which is Monday. We haven't yet played Denmark in Cardiff. As of right now, but obviously by the time you hear this, we will have played. Future Ryan will catch up with our resident women's football expert, Megan Ferringer. Megan will tell us all we need to know about how Wales women have started the Nations League campaign. After that, then, the quality and tone will immediately be destroyed as we speak to Phillips before we're back for part two. I'm now joined by our resident women's football expert. It's Megan Ferringer. Megan, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back. It's been a while. I feel like I've been sort of benched, and now I'm making my big return. So we're here again.
Maybe me and Gemma Granger have got something in common, as we both just like keep playing the same old faces, whether performing or not. we're going to discuss the two recent Wales women's games. There isn't much to shout about. It's been pretty bleak. Wales, in their first ever Women's Nations League campaign, were in Group A, or League A, whatever you call it. It was always going to be tough. You know, we're in a group with Germany, Denmark, and Iceland, both, you know, all three very strong women's sides. But Megan, it's been a bad start, and we weren't expecting loads, but I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned going forward from these last two games.
Yeah, this was definitely not the start that we imagined, I think, going into them. And like you said, it was always going to be tough. I didn't expect a lot of victories going into this campaign, but I thought the manner of the performances were going to be the key takeaways and the things to get excited about. And instead, I have found myself increasingly getting more frustrated and sort of less excited about kind of the future of what this team could potentially be. And I think that's the biggest issue. I mean, these performances in the last two matches have been so subpar across the board. And I think the most concerning aspect is the defense, because that's something that, you know, Wales has sort of always built their identity on, is being difficult to break down, being a tough team to beat, having those solid foundations, and then building from there. And there were sort of hints and suggestions that that's what was happening under Gemma. And then it's been sort of since there's the France game at home and away that were both really, really positive performances. And then I'd say the first half hour of that Switzerland playoff final for the World Cup, you know, Wales were playing a little bit more front-footed. They were more confident. And then they sort of reverted back to sort of soaking up a lot of pressure and not really wanting to get forward. And it's since that game, really, that I've just not seen any forward progression in terms of what Wales want to do, what identity they want to play with. Are we a front-footing attacking team that's trying to play slick through balls and whatnot? Or are we going to actually shore up defense and like remember our shape and our structure? And there's so many parallels you can draw between the men's and the women's, kind of this sort of weird identity crisis that seems to be gripping them. I'm not sure if that's something to go back into and get all metaphorical about. I'm not going to do that. I don't think that there's time to do that. But it is really concerning that the last two performances have been so poor, because this campaign had so much potential to be a really exciting acid test and to really see Wales push on to get into that evolution, that transitional stage. And they're just not doing it.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, on Friday evening, Wales lost 1-0 in Iceland, and then on Tuesday, lost 5-1 in Cardiff to Denmark. Megan, I think you mentioned there that I think the last qualifying campaign for the World Cup, which we did incredibly well on, looked like we were sort of progressing. You know, you mentioned those games against France. We were solid. You know, we did lose both in the end, but there was sort of, you know, you could see what we were trying to do. And then against the sides that were maybe not as strong as us, we dominated, scored plenty of goals. As soon as the playoffs came around, then that Bosnia game felt like we were sort of caught between the two styles. We wanted to be solid, but by being solid, we had no outlet up front. Similar in the Switzerland game. Do you think that, obviously, I think, you know, from women's football, I think is going through what obviously men's football seemed to go through in the 90s, where there's a big gulf in class between, there's like level, there's tiers, you know, that are plain to see. And I think, and only really in the last 5 to 10 years, we've seen those gaps close in the men's game. You know, in previous years, a team like Latvia going into qualifying may have been battered, you know, like some of the lesser teams in the women's game are now. And, you know, that'll take time. That's just the nature of sport. But are we caught a bit between that top tier and that sort of bottom tier, and we're struggling to get out of that? And how do we get out of that? Because I think clearly we've seen in this Nations League so far, I'm not saying, you know, we can't write off the rest of the campaign, but there's not much signs to say that we can compete, you know, with the bigger nations in Europe at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think anyone in that Wales squad will tell you pretty upfront they're still an underdog, and that's still sort of the reality of their circumstances. But I think as well, it's about playing to your strengths, and I don't think Wales are really playing to their strengths at the moment. I think there was a lot of excitement when Gemma first came in the fact that she was using a midfield triangle with Sophie Ingle, Jess Fischock, and Harrah James that hadn't been done previously, and that was really great. You sort of had there was a bit of with Carey Holland coming in, and it was good. There was elements of it that were really positive, and it just feels as if Wales were starting, like you said, to sort of close this gap and incrementally move towards the top. They weren't ever going to be in that top sort of 15 teams. That's going to take a whole lot of evolution to get to. But people who maybe tuned into the Women's World Cup would notice that Haiti had a heck of a run this year. Australia had a really good run this year. These teams that are moving are starting to get their identity, and but they're just doing the basics right, and they can compete, and they're focusing on their strengths. And I just don't think that Wales have really focused on their strengths. they've been carried a lot by Jess Fishlock. I'm sure men's football fans will hear the similarities, and the men's team being carried by Gareth Bale. And I think that there's sort of this crisis of, right, we've got a star player. She's going to be the one to do it. And she's not able to do it because Jess has gotten older. She's getting into sort of the final stages of her career. And I think that's where my biggest source of frustration is coming from with this team, is that you've got a tranche of really, really good players in that squad, young players, hungry players. They're playing at top levels, Championship and WSL, and they're not getting the minutes that they should be, especially after when there's so many opportunities for a slick transition. And I think that's what Wales are suffering from now, is sort of that lack of transition. The fact Kaylee Green, and I think Kaylee Green has been such a great servant for Wales. What she's done has been great. But she should not be starting any sort of match or be the first person off the bench. Like, I will firmly stand by that, just because you look at where she's playing. She's not playing at the top level. She's been dropped by Brighton. Like, those are very concerning things. I think Lily Woodham is a very exciting player, but she's at Reading now, and that Reading have been relegated, and they're no longer playing at like a top. They're no longer playing at a full professional level. You know, those things need to be taken into account. Reward players like Fionn Morgan, reward players like Elise Hughes, who is doing really well in the Championship. So yeah, for what Wales can do to maybe solve that issue, I'm not a tactical genius. I'm not going to tell Gemma Granger maybe how to do her job, because ultimately that's not my job. My job is to sort of hold things to account. And I think like the biggest grievance I have is the lack of players being substituted, the lack of players being given opportunities, and just sort of like the unwillingness to maybe be a little bit more bold and daring. And yeah, but also, you know, the structure thing, like, there were so many times against Denmark last night. 5-1 is almost flattering, because like the defensive shape was not there. The number of times that you'd see Wales completely chasing back, like no structure, no shape whatsoever, players not knowing where they were meant to be. And you've got Gemma Evans, who's trying as hard as she can to try to like shore up some element of it. And Olivia Clark in goal, there's nothing that she can do to stop those goals from going in, because everything is so shambolic in the front. So in terms of what Wales need to do now, maybe take a little page out of the men's and just shore up shop, get solid, get back to your foundations, and then let's progress from there. Because at the moment, I think everyone's heads are frazzled.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned it then. The biggest sort of criticism that's been leveled against Gemma Granger really is her lack of experimentation, I guess. I think it's 7 friendlies we've played since the Switzerland playoff before the Iceland game, which was pretty much the whole first half of 2023, was just pure friendlies. And even in those friendlies, we haven't seen players, young players, really given the chances that maybe they deserved. And I think now we're almost paying the price for not transitioning properly. We've seen Olivia Clark come in and replace Laura O'Sullivan as the number one. But other than that, you know, Carrie Jones, obviously very young, very exciting, but she was in this side, you know, playing and starting in the last group. And you know, you mentioned Elise Hughes, and am I right in thinking she's the top goal scorer in the Championship at
in
the moment?
Championship. Yeah. You know, so she's exciting. She's a very good player. She holds the ball up well. She knows how to find the back of the net. And that's something, you know, Wales have kind of missed, other than with Jess. And then, yeah, what Fionn's very versatile. Someone sort of said, like, they're not sure if she's going to be tactically disciplined. She's in a Bristol City side that their entire sort of way of going at the WSL this season is going to be being tactically disciplined, because they are very aware that they're going up against Man United, Arsenal, City, Chelsea. These are some really terrifying teams. Aston Villa can even be like qualified into that. And so they're going to have to be defensively solid. And Fionn Morgan has played all over the shop for Bristol City, and she's shown that she's very versatile, able to be disciplined when she needs to be. And manager Lauren Smith has said it as well. But there's a lot. I mean, just look at Bristol City's ranks, and you'll see loads of Welsh youngsters who are going to be playing in the WSL week in, week out, and they're still not able to get into the Wales squad. And you wonder, like, okay, what is going on here? And I know that Gemma has a huge emphasis on loyalty, and she's got a game plan, and she sees how it works. But I am disappointed that I haven't seen more youngsters sort of given that chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that does seem like the frustration for most people at the moment. So obviously looking ahead now, next month, It's obviously doesn't get any easier. Those fixtures in October are grim. Germany away and Denmark away. You know, if we come out of those games with anything,
you know, even a goal, I think is a result at this point. You know, we're playing two giants, really, of the women's game. You know, in their own backyards. What should we be looking for from those two games in terms of performances, in terms of what we're doing? You know, how do we fix this, you know, this previous campaign?
I think the first place is just not to concede cheap goals. That's the biggest one. Germany, where they've suffered a lot. Germany, like, they've not had a really great year. I mean, they, like, their men's team couldn't get out of the group stages, which was a real source of ire and ignominy for a lot of fans. They've just lost their opening Nations League game as well. That was a huge shock. But they're going to come at Wales and go, right, we are about to right some wrongs here, and this is how we're going to do it. And what I would love to see from Wales is an ability maybe to just make it as difficult for Germany as possible. You know, don't let Alexander Popp go get a hat trick like they did for Pernille Harder. Like, don't let that happen. So I know this is going to sound so cynical. I don't expect Wales to get a win out of either of those games. Getting a point from either of those games will be huge, but just coming away with, I mean, if they get a clean sheet, I will scream. Like, that is fantastic from them. But coming away with just a little bit of pride, kind of a stance against these bigger sides to say, we're not just going to be the team that you guys walk all over. That's what Wales really need to get out of these two games. Because I think if they do that, they're going to get some more confidence in themselves. I watched a little bit of the Iceland game. I was away on holiday, and then I got to the tail end of last night's game. And then I watched them both back this morning. There was a lot, there wasn't a real confidence of, like, there was not really that sort of, I don't know, that aura about them. And I think that's something that they really need to get back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's going to be hard to salvage the group now. You know, I think looking at 4 points really may not even be enough, you know, even if we beat Iceland at home and draw with Germany at home in the final two games, may not even be enough necessarily to finish in third. Which will likely see us relegated to League B, which is no shame. You know, like we said, we weren't expecting much. But if the performances continue as they have been, and we aren't really seeing any signs of progression, and, you know, the stagnation continues, is Gemma Granger under threat going into that European qualifying campaign? Because, you know, the talk for a while now is how close we've been to qualifying for a major tournament. Euro 2025 is a massive opportunity for us to do so. Do the FAW need to maybe have a, you know, shuffle the pack and think we're not really going anywhere under the current regime? Yeah. Should we have a look elsewhere? Is that a risk, or is that me sort of being, you know, overreactive and you know, very modern football, you know, change a manager as soon as something doesn't go right? Or is that fair?
No, it's a completely fair point. So when Gemma came in, she was all about this five-year plan. That was their big thing. So a lot of people got super excited about the World Cup campaign, as I did, as everyone did, because it felt like, oh my gosh, Wales are going to qualify for a World Cup at the first time of asking under Gemma Granger. Gemma was very adamant after that World Cup qualifying campaign that they were ahead of schedule when that happened. And Jess Pachocka said the exact same thing. Their major goal when they hired Gemma was to qualify for the upcoming Euro campaign. And the World Cup campaign, because of how well Wales had done, it was suggestive, indicative of them being able to accomplish that. And, like, the five-year plan was definitely rolling into place. The last couple of months, that's completely stagnated and stopped. And so four questions to be asked of Gemma is 100% fair. And also, if questions weren't being asked, to me, that's a larger issue, because it just goes to show that the 8,000 people who were at the game the other night or whatever, they're not there for the actual women's team and going to support the team. They're going there because, oh, it's so fun. Look at us going to a game and it just happens. And, like, there's no jeopardy here. There should be jeopardy. There should be questions asked, because it shows that there's, like, a real substance about the game. And so 100%, I think questions need to be asked. I think the FAW are probably going to be asking those questions. I don't think they're going to move from Gemma simply because they have trusted in her. They've said it was about a five-year plan. It was about the Euros. I don't know who you bring in at this point in order to do it. We've talked on the podcast about the FAW's financial state. There was conversations about Rob Page going, and one of the biggest reasons he hasn't gone yet is because of the finances that are sort of shackling the FAW in terms of moving anyone around. So while it is a completely fair assessment, I can't see them doing it, but I think more questions need to be asked. If I had been at the games, I would have asked them, but unfortunately I was on holiday, so I didn't get to do them. But no, I think their questions will be asked. The FAW are not going to be sort of naive enough, I hope not, to watch this happening and be like, yeah, everything's fine, because you know, qualifying for these tournaments is how football in the country progresses. They're really adamant about growing the Ajahn Prem, about growing it into something that is a viable sort of self-funding product. Wrexham coming in, I know the owners there are really keen on growing the women's game, but if the national team is not qualifying for major tournaments and getting access to a lot of those funds from FIFA and UEFA, that has a huge knock-on effect. So the repercussions are immense. And if Wales don't qualify for this upcoming Euros, I cannot see Gemma staying in the position, but I don't think they'll get rid of her before then.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's probably fair. Let her have a crack. But yeah, like you said, I think if we don't qualify, it is a failure. I think the key thing is now, like you said, you know, over 8,000 people in the ground last night, which is fantastic, you know, for a, you know, a non-qualifier. I know the Nations League is a competitive game, but, you know, they don't quite have the same pull as a qualifier does. So, you know, fantastic crowd. You know, and it shows that the appetite is there, the desire is there, and we've just got to make sure that we don't just accept a plateau now with the women's team. You know, we've got to keep pushing and keep growing the game. And, you know, to do that is to qualify for a tournament. So fingers crossed. You know, Gemma Granger is just sort of sounding things out in this Nations League, you know, ahead of that campaign next year.
And every manager will have a weird spell. You can look at England with Serena Wiegmann. They've just lost. It doesn't sound that bad when you put it into context of third loss in 41 matches under her. But a lot of people are saying that they've been winning ugly and the luck's kind of running out. You know, it's been uninspired, whatever. Every manager has to come under scrutiny. And sometimes that there are lulls in whatever. International football is weird like that. The problem is if in the next window it happens again, it's not just sort of a lull. It's a recurring pattern. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Megan. And sorry it wasn't for a more cheerful chat. But yeah, we'll definitely have you back on soon for a full podcast. And yeah, thanks again. And fingers crossed the next round of fixtures isn't as disastrous as this one.
Yeah, see you later, Ryan.
Adrian Phillips, are you there?
Confirmed.
Good stuff. What's the latest then? Who've you maimed this week or whatever?
Can you hear me over? Oh shit, sorry, that was yesterday. Sorry, hiya Brian. Yeah, we had a good win on the weekend.
Yeah, good. Who did you play again? Can't remember.
We won 8-0 against Capital Tabernacle in Bangor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good result.
Yeah, they weren't up to much, to be honest with you, but we had to play in a cemetery.
There's always a but, isn't there, with you?
Yeah. Desecration of the dead, man.
Well, it is cemetery, but it was the bit where they haven't died yet. And they're going to go in there, like, you know.
What?
The bit where they haven't died yet.
Yeah.
So like a slaughtering field.
It's a cemetery bit. They, like, preempt death. Like an extra bit,
a spare space.
Yeah. So it was cramped, to say the least.
Well, there we are. Better than a pitch that blew up, though, I guess.
Yeah.
Any of them players in that cemetery?
Well, your left winger, Llygredd Price, has been detained for that.
Oh, why?
I'm not sure why, but he's just been detained regarding the bomb explosion. The Dyfed Powys police won't tell me anymore. And then they asked where I was, so I hung up. Yeah, so he's been detained, so I had to travel a bit light. But in mentally good news, amazingly good news.
Oh, wow.
Red Allen's come into some money.
Oh, here we go.
A lot of money.
Right.
How can I explain this? So basically, he takes money off some people, and then he gives that money back to other people. And then he repeats the process.
What?
Money laundering.
Yeah, I think they call it a Ponzi scheme. Ponzi scheme. Yeah. But he's made a hell of a lot of money off it. He's not going to get caught yet. So we're making hay with the sun shining. So we've got, we ordered a team bus like the Premier League teams have got.
Yeah, great. Well done. That's good.
And I've got a gold-plated Lamborghini Murcielago now. So I didn't go up with the team. I just drove up there. Well, actually, I got Tony to drive it. So I drove it in style.
From rags to riches. The Phillips story.
Yeah. So they won
8-0.
Yeah. And then I had this left to me. When I got hands free, now it's mental. Isn't it? You can talk on the phone without using the phone.
Good Bluetooth system in the Lamborghini, is it?
Got a Spotify on there as well. I didn't know what that was.
So Simon
and Garfunkel going like hell.
Listen to our podcast then if you want on your way to games.
Well, I could, I suppose. But I won't. Anyway, I got this left.
Phillips! What a fucking win! Without doubt, a fucking party. Me and some of the boys. I am fucking howling. Howling, dowling. I'm out with Chris Mastry, Dixie Normas, Mike Rochburns, and Eric Shin. But we left Peter File at home, but because he can fuck off. We're absolutely pissed, but we fuck love him winning.
Yeah, so I got that left for the idiots, but I was I couldn't come back with them, obviously, because I'm travelling in style, but I had a helicopter to London and then Arbroath.
Any reason why, or just because you can?
Well, we're in talks with Yakubu Egbeni.
Right.
He could be joining in the next couple of weeks.
Well, the old Portsmouth is like it.
Not that old, is he?
Feed the yak.
He's 28. Yeah. He showed me his Wikipedia. He scores goals in the Premier League.
Yeah, for Portsmouth.
They're not still in the Premier League, no.
Come on, everyone.
Right, we're scouting there. Anyway, we're going to sign him.
Yeah, sounds good. Now,
and then might take over Arbroath.
Oh, you might what do they call him? Like a feeder team or something.
Yeah, so I can put like young up and coming drunks and drug addicts in Arbroath's team, clean them up.
Arbroath.
Clean them up, and then when they're fit to play, they can come play the Church League.
There we are.
Several leagues lower.
It's a
but one day, my legal wranglings, my legal wranglings with the FAW will come to an end. I will be successful.
Yeah, I'm sure that will be the case.
Because, like, with all Ponzi schemes, they never come to an end.
Yeah.
They never get found out.
Ponzi? They're the type of small flowers and trees, isn't it?
That's what it is, isn't it? When you nick money off people. Nick money off people and give it to other people.
Okay, yeah.
Like that cricket bloke.
Yeah, so there's more criminality going on, really. That's...
Well, he watched that documentary and he started it. I think he's got a bank now as well. In Harlech.
God.
Yeah. So we're making a lot of money.
Will you be investing into the playing side of things, or is this just going to be sort of material goods for yourself and your pets?
Well, I bought the bus, and I.
Of course, yeah. Important. Yeah.
But as we know, it's once bitten, twice shy. Is that the statement of the claim I'm looking for?
I don't know. It depends what you're going to say next, I guess.
Two in the bush, isn't it? One in the bird, isn't it?
Robert's your mother's uncle or something. So I spent heavily on a team before.
Yeah.
And that didn't really work out well. So I'm going to be more frugal. Mm-hmm. I can't speak English anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more tight with money. I'd be like a Cardi from West Wales. I'm not going to spend money on the team. I'm just going to spend it on... myself.
Elaborate
luxury trips to London to sign what I've now found out is a retired Nigerian striker.
Well, exciting times in the world of Phillips then.
Well, I'm sure it'll last.
Yeah, of course.
Like most things I turn my hand to, is always successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as they say, Phillips, never look a gift horse in the mouth.
What?
I don't know. I thought we were just sort of
horses. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, thank you. I'll write that down now.
Yeah.
Do you remember Rassis on S4C? You could do something like that.
Hey, do you reckon that's a good program? Do you reckon I can infiltrate harness racing in Wales?
Yeah, fix it like they do in Hong Kong. Whatever we say. So, yeah.
Fix it. That could be a money spinner. Live from Tregaron. I'll know who's won before they race.
Yeah. Foolproof, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, Kaus, you're a criminal genius, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Buy a horse, fix race. Go write that down now. With my gold Parker pen.
why would you need to write that down? Like, how are you going to forget that?
And also, have you signed up to like some over 60s life insurance to get your Parker pen? I feel like that's the only way you can get them, isn't it?
I will not disclose my age on this. I have to write it down because I have so many thoughts. As genius entrepreneurs, I've got so much. So many thoughts a second. You have to write them down. And also, I forget who's playing for me half the time, and I pick the team.
Alan Sugar does a lot of that, doesn't he? But he puts it on Twitter.
Alan Sugar?
Yeah, he's an entrepreneur, isn't he?
He used to sell phones that send faxes, isn't he?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I buy a horse, sort of, like next week. I don't know who I'm playing next week, because I'm living the high life up in London for a few days.
Yeah.
Biden's off this week.
Well,
not the node we train anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, your form, I'm sure won't have a dip because of it, Phillips. Long may your success continue.
Well, it will form. There's a horse racing tip. And my success will guarantee to continue. What?
Yeah.
I think it's time you go, Phillips.
Yeah, off you go now.
I've been talking too much, drinking heavily. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back to part two of the pod. It's time for our game. Kaus, we need a massive performance from you, really, to make up for what's been, quite frankly, horrendous run of form. We're going back to a pretty big game this week rather than an obscure friendly, seen as Wales women. Played Denmark yesterday. We're going back to the last time the men's team played them in 2021 in the last 16 of Euro 2020, where the Danes hammered us, to put it bluntly. Again, I haven't even thought about what I can flip. I've got a book here next to me, which is vintage Marx and Engels. So it's pretty, the Communist Manifesto it is. There we are. I don't know why my girlfriend's reading that, but fair play to her. We're going front or back. Rod, you won last week. Eagle, front or back of the Communist Manifesto?
Front, please.
Front. Cool. Flip. What have we got? It's the back. Kaus, you pick whether you want to go first or second, and it's Wales 0, Denmark 4 from June the 26th, 2021.
I'm going to go first. Get the pressure on, because I'm quite confident this week.
Yeah. You're going to go out attacking.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Right.
Mind games have started already.
Yeah. Impressive. Right. Let's have your first choice then.
Okay. We'll start with a nice, easy one. Connor Roberts.
Correct. Safe.
I Rod. Think I watched this game up in Llansannan with Kaus.
Yeah.
So if I don't remember, it's Kaus's fault. So yeah.
Playing the long game, Kaus was.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure Nico started that game.
Oh, Rod.
He didn't, did he?
No.
Fuck's sake. I thought he had a defensive mishap, didn't he, in that game?
No. He came on for Conor Roberts on the 40th minute. I think Roberts fucked his groin or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
I really
Do I take
don't...
the open goal?
No, you won, Kaus.
You've won already, Kaus.
Of course I take the open goal. I've only won one since we've been doing it. Yeah,
you've won already, Kaus.
You've already won.
Oh, yeah. Fucking...
Yeah, he's not used to it. He's not used to it. He doesn't know what's going on.
I don't even know the rules of this game that I'm sad about.
Yeah. This is but I really thought we'd go like seven round, you know, like six or seven players at least before someone made a mistake.
I think it should be like a final warning if a player came on and played.
Well,
listen here, Rods. You have to be on your best behavior from now on.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was actually thinking in the shower earlier about this game because I'm a complete sado and this is the sort of stuff I think about. And maybe we should do like a penalty shootout, but with three rounds. And if you win after three rounds, then you win. Yeah. And then it goes to sudden death. So let's keep going for this.
So what's happening now?
Not this week.
No, okay, all right, there we are. Game over. Right, game over. Couch this week, but from the foreseeable future, we'll do three rounds. Whoever's winning after three rounds wins, or it goes to sudden death. I think that's...
Do you hear that then, Rods? Like, he's that desperate for you to win every week. He's changing the rules.
No, it's just entertainment, isn't it?
Exactly. We can't be having it finish after one round every week.
I was going to say, it's a bit like on Deal or No Deal, where someone accepts the banker's offer on the first offer.
Yeah.
And then he's got to play out the rest of the game, even though it's all over.
Yeah, right. This is what you could have had then, Rod. Danny Ward in goal, Chris Meppham, Joe Rodon, Ben Davis, Connor Roberts, Joe Allen, Joe Morrell, Aaron Ramsey, Dan James, Gareth Bale, Kiefer Moore. We probably
could have got all them, to be honest with
you. Yeah, it's the most standard of lineups, really, that we've played in the last sort of 3 or 4 years.
The standout part of that game for me was Nico's like defensive play was shocking. And so I knew he was playing, but I didn't realize he hadn't started. So yeah, well done, Kaus.
Yeah.
Only six behind me now, or something like that.
Yeah, was it
19-2?
I think it is now. Yeah.
The Airbus of the team game there.
Right, let's do some of your questions before we wrap up and finish. The 14-12 have said, which Welsh international looks to have made the best summer move? Kaus, what do you think at the moment as it stands? Who's made the best moves this summer?
Do you know what I'm going to say? And I think Rods will be happy with this. I think, from what I've seen so far, I would say Ethan Ampadu, because I think he's really going to do well there. I think he's been very sensible, just taking a step down. He's had a rough couple of years at club level. He's thinking, let's step down. And as we know, he's a Premier League standard player. So I think, I think that'll turn out to be a good move. And I do expect Leeds to get their stuff to get their shit together and at least give promotion a good go this year. So I'll go for him, I think.
Yeah, I think... Ampadu's my standout as well. Although obviously on paper, Brennan Johnson's move looks really good, but obviously hasn't really settled in yet. But it's nice to see that he's at least playing games. But I think he might have got injured yesterday.
He did go off. Yeah.
So he might be a concern for October's games, which isn't grand. But that is the way of Welsh football. Rod, obviously a lot of action for Leeds this summer. Rodon as well. But is Ampadu the standout for you, or has anyone else caught your eye?
Ampadu was going to be my answer because, like Kaus, I think he's a level above the Championship. I think it's obvious. Maybe he's one of those ones who is in between. He needs to prove himself at the top level club in the club game, but you can see he's just too good for the Championship, and he's a big reason why Leeds have, not conceded in four games now, and he's just kind of that position he's playing in, like defensive midfield. He's got that, we need him there for Wales, alongside someone. Hopefully Jordan James going, but yeah, maybe Ramsey because of just how, high profile he is and going back to his first club and all that. But no, I can't think of others in terms of who's moved, but I have been impressed with the Ipswich and how they've started in the Championship, and them Welsh boys pretty pivotal in that Broadhead. I know they were there last year, but... No, if we're going on transfers, my answer is Ampadu, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I think most of us are in agreement with that. Andrew Dowling says, lads, I've let myself down. I booked to go and watch U2 in Las Vegas. That could easily be a full stop for me, to be fair. next month, the same weekend as the Croatia match without realizing. Have you ever done something so idiotic in your life? And what did you miss that was important to you? Now, Dowlin, a couple of things here. Schoolboy error, really. Why are you booking anything when you know the international dates? The international calendar gets released 4 years in advance.
Shocking.
You just cannot book around international games. That is just, it's thick. It is thick. you've only got yourself to blame. Vegas, yeah, that'd be good. You two cannot on board with that. But as long as you enjoy it, Dowlin, that's all right. Because let's be honest, the likelihood of us having a famous victory in Cardiff is low. But if it is a famous victory, then you've only got yourself to blame. Anyone want to add to that?
What do you mean?
Well, didn't anyone want to add to what I've had to say, really, of Dowlin being thick?
Do you want us to join you in berating Dowlin? Or
I mean, you're more than welcome. Or you're
he's on the floor. You want me and Couch to stick another boot in?
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid. It's really stupid, Andrew. What are you doing? I haven't got as much of a problem with you two. I think they're mostly shit, but I do like a few of their songs. But, you know, if you like him, you like him. I personally think
if you two would have finished in 1990, they'd have gone down as one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yeah.
Sadly, since then, they've completely blotted their copybook with a load of nonsense tunes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, 80s U2 were very, very good.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair enough. See also Stereophonics, etc. For
a lot of bands, really, isn't
there? Yeah, there's some bands that just should have just called it a day, early doors, really, and could have been thought of. But I think argument for Oasis, if they finish after the first two albums out on the Master Plan, I think they'd be the best band ever. But they did.
It's the same with the TV series as well.
Yeah, you
know, sometimes it's better to just to call it a day after two or three series.
Yeah,
you know, the longer it goes on, the shitter it becomes. So you know.
To quote myself from earlier in the podcast, better to burn out than fade away. So, yeah. Right. The Welsh Whisperer says, when are the rest of the clubs going to start selling decent merch? With a link to the retro shirt that Tor Sports produced for Caernarfon Town. House, it does feel actually like there's an open goal that Cymru Premier clubs aren't, you know, scoring essentially with merchandise and sort of with the craze that is sort of football shirts and retro shirts and also just general merchandise. It feels like a lot of them sort of just go for the template Macron stuff that we see every year, which is good. I think it's really good quality. I like Macron stuff, but it feels like, you know, a few clubs could start to be inventive with it, and there's an open goal there. And I think Tor especially do some really good stuff. Llantwit stuff's really good. The new Roger Stone kit that they've done is beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just feels like an open goal.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not a replica shirt buyer myself. I used to always buy the Wales shirts, and when I was younger, I'd always get the Wrexham shirts as well. But I haven't bought a replica shirt in a long time. But I love my retro stuff, as you say, really good. And I haven't clicked the link that Welsh Whisper is talking about, but I'm assuming it's the Caernarfon one.
Yes.
That retro Caernarfon shirt is really, really smart. I really like that. So, I think it's a massive open goal, and you know why not? I think people would buy it. But, you know, people aren't necessarily going to buy a Cymru Prem replica shirt. Although I've got to say, the amount of Colwyn Bay shirts that they've sold this year has been incredible. They've sold, I think, nearly 1,000 of them. You know, they've sold a ridiculous amount of replica shirts, so fair play to them for that. But generally speaking, get the retro stuff and people will buy it, won't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably buy like a replica Aberystwyth Town shirt, for example, just because I think it'd be smart with it, you know, with the old Cambrian tyres on the front or something like that. But you know, yeah. But I like my retro stuff, definitely.
Yeah. Weird. I'm just looking at the Caernarfon thing. Why is their badge like almost identical to Norwich's back in the day? Is there a reason for that, Kaus? Do you know? I don't really know the history of why. You know, it's literally almost identical. the retro yeah. badge.
No, I haven't got a clue. The badge on that replica shirt, though, I'm not sure that was ever the actual badge.
Right, okay.
I don't think so. I might be wrong. Someone can correct me on that if I am. But no, I'm pretty sure
because
that
that's the one that is almost identical to Norwich's.
Yeah, yeah, and the,
maybe it is Norwich's.
They're both called the Canaries as well, aren't they? So
yeah,
I'm really not sure, to be honest.
Well, if someone who knows more about Carnarvon's history listen to the pod, let us know why the badge is so similar to Norwich's. I don't know if they, you know, it was set up by the same people or, you know, whatever. I don't know, but would like to know. Right. What else have we got? We've got Alan March's trivia question. He says Alternative Wales are hosting an event at St. Fagan's Museum. Right, we are. Buy your tickets now. But which year was the museum established? Boys, Rod, do you want to take the first hit of this? What do you reckon?
I don't have a fucking clue, to be honest with you. whatever I say could be horribly wrong and look stupid, so fuck it. 1985.
House.
Yeah, I honestly haven't got a clue. Right, really haven't got a clue. I'm going to go 1998.
Well, you're both terribly wrong. It was 1948, which shocked me.
Wow.
Wow. I didn't realize it was as old as it is. I mean, there's a lot of old stuff there. That's sort of the point of a museum. But,
Yeah.
1948.
That's fair play.
Fair play to them. It was originally called the Welsh Folk Museum, whereas it's now St. Fagan's. So there, fair play to St. Fagan's. It's very good. And the event will be also very good, so please come along. And to round us off then, we have got apologies, Paul Burns. I've just noticed your question. He said, Nick, this concept from another podcast. He said, you can travel back in time to observe one day in history. What day are you traveling back to? Rod, any day stand out that you'd like to have witnessed?
Quite a lot, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Very interested in the history, so... probably go for about a million different days, but let's go back to day one.
Day one.
Adam and Eve and me. See how we get on in that menage a trois situation. Yeah, could be a very different outcome for the human race then, so that's my choice.
That is a great
start
answer.
Start a podcast with him, maybe.
Yeah. That is really good. But you wouldn't be able to put it on the bad Apple platform. I don't know. That's really bad for me.
Oh my God.
Completely lost.
Yeah.
All hope in it as I was saying it. But there we are.
Yeah.
Kaus,
you committed
moving
to it,
on. Though.
You committed to it. That was very brave, right? Commend you for that. You committed
to the gang. Yeah. Right, Kaus, what would your day in history be?
Well, I mean, today, a monumentous day where Ryan made the worst joke of all time.
It's been coming for a few weeks.
Yeah, I'd like to go back. Yeah, 2 minutes. I don't know.
A catastrophic waste of a time machine.
A complete waste of a time machine, yeah. I've always thought this. I'd love to go to the 1958 World Cup, because I mean I've read Phil Stead's book and stuff like that. It's fascinating. They were talking about it and they were saying like no one at home even knew this World Cup was going ahead, and it was so low key, and obviously the FAW councillors wanted to bring their wives, so they had to leave players at home so that their wives could come. They turned up in Sweden without any kit and without any footballs, and they're training just by running around. I just think it would be so hilariously shambolic that I'd love to see it and just see exactly what happened there.
Maybe run Pele over with the time machine just before kickoff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Give him a good whack, like, but I just fascinated by that and how something that's like obviously the biggest, I think it's probably the biggest showpiece in sport, I would say. Mm. the World Cup, like, was just considered like nothing back then. Yeah. Like, it's just fucking with me.
I mean, for some reason, when I saw this question, my mind immediately went to like disasters, and I don't know why. Like, to be in New York on 9/11 would have been, I was thinking the other day, right? 9/11 was fucking mental. I sometimes don't quite, you know, actually comprehend how fucking mad 9/11 was that it happened.
Get that on a t-shirt. Get that quote on a t-shirt.
9/11 was mad.
But like, imagine being at a safe distance in New York and watching two planes drive into the two biggest towers.
That just doesn't sound enjoyable at all. It would have been fucking terrifying.
Oh, it would have been terrifying, but what a thing to see. And I also thought, like, being in the in London during the Blitz, I bet that was pretty bonkers as well.
Or Hiroshima,
maybe,
like, D-Day. You're on your allotment or something, and oh, what's that?
Yeah, Boxing Day tsunami in Thailand, you know, so anything like that. I don't
all
know
the
why.
The worst things ever.
Yeah. As long as it's from a safe distance, but just to sort of comprehend and see the scale of the disaster would be quite fascinating.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah, no. And on a lighter note, trying to think of something fun. The birth of Jesus Christ. I bet that was a nice occasion with the three wise men and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Fucking stable, man.
True.
It's a travesty.
I bet it stunk as well. I bet it actually stunk. But there we are. maybe Jesus Christ never existed. That's not for me to say. Don't know why we got so many religious references in this part of the podcast, but there we are. Ben Price says, I've given up alcohol. How do I do Wales Away sober? Rod, do you ever envisage a day that you do Wales Away as a sober man? Voluntary or not?
I didn't drink in the first lockdown. I didn't drink for 6 months and I really enjoyed it. But then I've never been one of those people who can go out and not drink. You know, I can't be around people. The more drunk they get, the more I want to go home if I'm not drinking. So I'd find it difficult. I'm sure I could do it. You know, very healthy. You live a hell of a lot longer, I think, if you but I don't know. Yeah, there's plenty of people who do it. You probably get more culture and you would see more things and probably get a few earlier nights. So might not be quite as much fun, but right, you always have fun on these Wales Aways. You're a rare breed, I think. You don't mind hanging about with a bunch of piss artists. So,
I do always say the secret to my success of not drinking is the fact I never drank beforehand. I think once you've been drunk around drunk people, it's hard to then become the sober person. Whereas for me, I don't know any different. I got to say, Wales Away is a lot easier to do sober than going out on a night out at home, mainly because, you know, it's just a lot more relaxed. You're in a nice place. You get, you know, usually as well, the people we spend Wales Away with are people I don't normally get to spend time with as well. So it's like, it's sort of the excitement of seeing your mates. You got the added culture. And also I eat through a Wales Away, you know.
Yeah.
You use it as a way to sort of try new things.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Like by the third or fourth day, I'm so rough. I don't enjoy the food as much. So, you know, you get that added enjoyment of being able to eat more interesting things.
Yeah. You know,
I'm always jealous when I'm with you, Ray, on these Wales Aways and you're eating this thing. And I'm like, I would actually really enjoy that. But
yeah,
I know I'm going to see it out of one end of me within an hour if I didn't eat it. So
I mean, I don't necessarily go to bed any earlier, maybe a couple of hours here or there. But I still feel absolutely terrible when I get home because I'm just so burnt out from, you know, late nights, a lot of excitement, that sort of adrenaline. But yeah, give it a go. Why not? It doesn't harm my experience, but yeah, give it a go. Kaus, any thoughts on going sober for a Wales Away?
I've never done it myself, right? But
shock.
No, I think it would be nice. You know, it'd be nice to sort of try it. It's just, you know, I'd see all these people sort of going into the pub and, you know, getting hammered and singing along, and I'd be feeling a bit of jealousy. So yeah, I think I'd struggle to do it if I'm being honest. I'm easily led, as you know.
Yeah.
But But yeah, fair play to you though, right? I think what Rod says are absolutely spot on. I mean, I don't eat a lot when I go away because of the drink, but I think maybe we're the unlucky ones because we're missing out some of the nice things that you get to experience, mate. So yeah, fair play to you, and yeah, I'm sure if Ben goes sober, he'll have a fantastic time, guaranteed.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Come and hang out with me, Ben, and I'll bore you to death. Right, to finish off, we've got Boosh. Here he is. Very superstitious. Wash your face and hands. Funked out Stevie Wonder. I wore a new hat for the Cymru Prem. They lost. Didn't wear it to the ABBA game. They won. Didn't wear it last week. We got thumped. So hat or no hat? Do you have any pre-match superstitions? Kaus, any superstitions? I'm not really one for that sort of tomfoolery.
No, I'm not. I don't have any superstitions, thankfully, because I'm the sort of person, if I started having superstitions, I don't know where the hell it would end. I'd be, I've got a good friend of mine. I'm not going to mention his name and embarrass him. But, when we pick him up to go to Wrexham games and stuff, he has to sort of like, you know, like yank the doorknob like four times or something like that. And then we'll be driving down the road and we'll wind him up and say, "You sure you locked your door?" And he'll insist on going back then.
Yeah.
He can't leave. He has to go back. So that's not superstition and stuff. That's probably OCD, but it's a similar sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I'm glad I don't really have anything like that.
Rod, do you have anything other than sort of, you know, drinking 13 pints before a game?
No, that's more habits. That is, I think superstitions are idiots, but there we are. That's just me.
There we are.
No, I know there's people who don't like, you know, don't walk in the road signs and don't walk on cracks in the pavement and wearing lucky pants and all this and that, but I kind of get it with sport, but I think it's more to do with habit and comfort. You know, some people like to wear socks in a way or something, or a particular pair of pants. Yeah. But I think that's more to do with familiarity than a superstition. Yeah. Daft lads game, that superstitions for me.
There we are.
I just imagine like pundits or a manager giving an interview after a game and like, you know, what was the reason your side lost the game today, Rob Page? Rodri didn't put his right sock on first. You know,
Yeah. Well, there we are. You know, the official word of Alternative Wales podcast. You two are shite, and superstitions off for what did you call them, Rod?
Idiots,
daft lads. That's it. Superstitions are for daft lads. So make of that what you will. To finish off,
we've been on the offensive tonight. We calling Dowling a fucking idiot or thick or whatever before. Thick.
Ryan's question the very existence of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look, get you a podcast that can do both. We can do serious football chat in the beginning, and
getting religious.
Yeah.
Fatwas put upon us by various.
Yeah. Exactly. What to finish off tonight, Rod, you will pick a song. Rod, what is that song? And do you have any closing statements?
You two, Elevation. Nah, just joking. I'm going to go. I was watching the programme the other night and Badfinger came on, that band from Swansea, I think. And I do like Baby Blue, that song, but I think my favourite one is Day After Day. So I'm going to put that one on. It's just reminding me of their existence. Like, I haven't heard them in years, so seeing that on that program, it was on BBC. I think it was like Welsh 60 years of Welsh music or something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
worth a watch on iPlayer.
Badfinger are a really interesting band, actually. Like, completely forgotten in the history of Welsh music, but they are like, they were massive. I think they signed to the Beatles label.
Beatles wrote songs for them as well. Some of George Harrison.
Is it Peter Ham, the lead singer?
Killed
I think
himself.
He sadly killed himself, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they sort of had a bit of a renaissance a few years ago because Baby Blue was on the final scene.
Breaking Bad,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was when I sort of discovered them. I never watched Breaking Bad, but I remember the...
That was where I first like looked into them as well. I got to be honest. Like, you know, I didn't know anything about them before that. So,
yeah. Yeah, so, you know, if you like the song, definitely check out their back catalogue because they've got some really good songs. And I'm surprised we haven't done them before, actually. But good pick, Rod. See, this is what happens when I give you notice about the song choice.
It was a panic choice. It was really like last minute.
Exactly. Kaus, any closing statements from you?
Don't be thick.
Yeah. Agree.
Don't listen to you two.
Yeah. Agree.
Don't worship Jesus. And
that's a debate. Yeah, whatever works for
do what you want,
the individual. Yeah.
just keep on trucking, baby. Keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking. Indeed, that's what it's all about. And yeah, usual from me. Buy the magazine, for crying out loud. Come to St. Fagans if you're in the area on 20th of October. And just keep being a good guy. You know, that's all I ask. Just be good, you know. All the best. Speak to you next week. Goodbye.